Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Blog Talk Radio.
And I say, that's a bunch of malarkey. I'm always willing to give an opportunity to some willing traveler who's willing to step up. That's right. Step up and take the reins. That's right. Here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, where I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Radulich. This is not a dictatorship. It's a democracy. And today, folks, President Coop steps into the White House that is the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, and he takes the reins and he calls the shots. And he said, Radulich, we're going to do some Thrawson Block tonight. So that's what we're here to review. Robert Cooper, how you living, yo?
I am not crook. In fact, I am not a crook. How do we know that I'm not a crook? Because in one of the first times that I've actually not done this, unlike what I usually do, where I will sometimes find the album on the internet and buy it later, cough, cough, this time I bought the Thrawson Blot album with the physical copy, the digital copy, a patch, and a T-shirt, though I still haven't received the physical stuff. Damn it, Canada. So I've uploaded the music via an official source onto my life, and Mark even went out and bought it because he's just a wonderful fucking person. But hello there, Metal Faithful. It is I, the Metal Cooper, Robert Cooper. Excited about this. This is the second Thrawson Blot album that we will be reviewing in the past year, actually, if I'm not mistaken. And that awkward silence says I should have stopped
at
the last one.
I don't think I was on the last one, was I?
Yes, you were. yeah, you were. You were on it, and I remember I waxed poetic, and then halfway through it, I realized upon reading lyrics that this was all inspired by a book by Joseph Campbell, so that immediately switched my perspective on everything. And if I'm not mistaken, in that podcast, you went on a something about Disney. Damn it, it was something about Disney songs. I remember that much. Just like in the middle of it, we cut talk about two of the tracks and just did our usual bullshit where we'll just go through whatever the hell we're talking about. Kind of like that time we had a Love Line with Coop.
I always do enjoy those shows. Well, real quick, before I completely turn the reins over to Coop and let him run the show, this is, you know, this is one of his bands, one of his picks, and I always like to let him call the shots when I'm not as familiar with the material. On the other hand, we have another guest with us tonight. Not really a guest. He's the third chair, whether he likes it or not. He's the man I call when I just can't take it anymore and I need somebody to fill in, and Robert Winfrey isn't available. Ladies and gentlemen, host of the Source Material Podcast, Jesse Starcher. How you living, yo?
Not going to do it. Not going to do an impression of a president. Not going to do it. That was horrible, wasn't it? Was that horrible?
What was that?
Read my lips. No new taxes.
Oh, once again. That is HW?
Once again, people are forcing me to say the following. You goddamn honkies.
Oh, unreal. What's up, everybody?
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everybody. You know what?
I found really
interesting at the beginning of this show is the fact that we had intro music. I noticed that you set up intro music when you do these shows, which is I'm going to have to learn how to do that, Mark. Apparently, I don't know, considering last time we had a show, I decided to conveniently leave it out. But I'm definitely excited to talk some Thross and Blot tonight. I don't think I was on the last show. I do remember the Disney stuff, though, Coop. I remember you guys talking about you guys broke off into some crazy stuff. But the good thing is that's in the archives, so we could definitely find out if Radulich was on there or not, whether he be there spiritually or just physically. I'm ready. Yeah, buddy, I'm ready to talk some metal.
All right, Coop. For those people who have not who are not familiar with the Thross and Blot, I mean, it's not like this album was an easy find. It was not on Spotify. It was not on Apple Music. Is there Thross and Blot available on both of those programs? Yes. But they've got the last album on there. They don't have the new album. The new album was only available through the Bandcamp webpage of Thross and Blot. So many people might not have heard of this band before, so why don't you get people caught up and tell them, what does the Thross and Blot mean? What do they sound like? Where do they come from? Give us the 50 words or less biography. Like, don't do like this. Don't do an hour, please. But give us the 50 words or less on the Thross and Blot, and then take us into this this album, Metectonia, something or other.
Coop? Did we drop Coop?
No, I'm here.
Coop? Okay, did you get
I'm
all
here.
That, sir? All right, man, go.
Oh, well, you kept yelling for me. Anywho, why, everybody? Thross and Blot are a band from Canada. Oh, wonderful Canada. Their first EP was actually in 2010 and featured David Gold of Woods of Ypres on drums. And their first EP was fairly good. It was kind of a standard raw black metal sound to it. A lot of nature themes to it. The second album, which was their first full one, which came out in 2013, I think. Yeah, it was 2013. It was called Thross and Blot 2, Wanderer on the Continent of Saplings. And I got to say, I love it when bands number their albums. Just makes me happy all on the inside. That album is one that we reviewed. It kind of had a lot of folk metal creeping in there, and I really feel like this album here does a good job of adding that in there. For people who aren't aware, actually the members of Thross and Blot were on the last Woods of Ypres album that Jesse Starcher and I both reviewed in two parts on the Radulich Broadcasting Network. Whew. Yeah, that was a 4-hour endeavor. But
that's
yeah,
a good
this
one.
Album, yeah, it's probably my favorite one we've ever done because, God damn it, I poured everything into that, even if Blog Talk didn't. yeah, this album here is really a continuation of what the band had been doing earlier. Like, they'd been gotten folksier as they went on. Their first album, again, kind of a raw black metal with a little bit of folk in it. Second album was still black and metal, but it was more of a black and folk. And this actually I would say has almost a progressive element to it just by the fact that it has those 10-minute long songs with multiple passages and distinct musical sections in those passages. It's a very interesting album. I can tell that Joel Violette, who is the guitarist and I'm assuming lyricist as well as the singer, screamer, vocalist guy, I can tell that guy reads books because the last album actually was based off of a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces by a man called Joseph Campbell. I had not heard of that book before that album. And actually, I bought it for my best friend for Christmas and he never read it. But hey, that's what happens in life. And this album here, I don't really know of any literary basis for it, but holy sweet bejesus, it could be a book all by itself.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jess.
I was just going to say, right before we got onto the podcast, we were talking about the lyrics and the multitude of such. They do a great job, and they don't leave anything unsaid. That's probably the best way to put it, because it feels like it's all there. And there's a lot to each song. Go ahead, Mark.
No, it's just you said this could be lyrics could be a book by themselves. Just due to the length of the songs. I mean, the first one's like 10 minutes long. What do you mean by it could be a book by themselves? Like you said it, and then like didn't follow up with why or why not?
Well, I kind of felt that as we got in there, it would become apparent, but. In the songs, actually, when I looked at the lyrics, I thought the first time, because the first time I was listening to the album, I looked at the lyrics and I'm like, oh, this must be liner notes. No, it is not done in a standard. It is not done in a standard sort of poetic lyrical verse. This is very much done in the way that a story would be done. It's not poetry. It's an actual story with full sentences, dialogue, everything, the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I did say the first, I know it's only six tracks, but these are very, very lengthy songs. These are 10, around the average around 10 minutes a piece here. So we're going to get into this first one. I'll play a little less than half to give people a full sampling of each one without, I think, breaking the BMIS cap law. Not that I think this man's suing anytime soon, but, you know, I'm trying to play fair here. So this is the first track off of a new album. This is Fires That Light the Earth. the violin intro was eerily reminiscent of Graveworm's cover of Iron Maiden's Fear of the Dark. That's a compliment. First of all, that track's outstanding. It's a very busy track. There's a lot going on, a lot of different musical styles perfectly blended together. That was like an AIDS quilt, okay? Like, come to life.
I really shouldn't laugh at that, but that's just the funniest. That is the strangest comparison. I would have never thought that.
Well, it's a blend. Would you like me to come up with a different one? It's like
if you're going straight to AIDS quilt.
It is the Long Island iced tea of music. There is a lot of blending together, making a powerful single entity. I really enjoyed that. I like the switch between the harsh vocals and the melodic vocals. The incorporation of the folk sound with the death metal. It all goes together very, very good. You know, I just got finished watching MasterChef, so I'm very much in a foodie thing. That's just how I'm thinking of it. Like, it's got a nice crust to it. It's perfectly seared.
It works. I can't talk tonight, so I'm just going to go ahead and put that right out there. It's going to be a long show for me. I can't get words out, but let me just explain this. You mentioned the harsh vocals and the clean vocals. I think that's one of my favorite parts about this particular song and, well, this band, I should say, because my worry coming into this, first off, I'm not a big fan of the folk metal. I like some of it, but
boo.
I'm not boo me off the stage.
Burn the heretic.
Get the hook.
Burn him.
It's just not my thing, but going into this, that's kind of what I was expecting, and this song blew me away. I told you guys yesterday, I think it was, when I was listening to it for the first time, I was really impressed. And the vocals aren't really over the top, or it seems like they take a back seat to the guitar, which is cool with me because I like being able to hear more of the music than the screaming vocals sometimes, but you know, to each his own. But I think they do great here. So
wait, how does that go again? What was that?
Metasodia. No, it's and before we go any further, Coop, can you please pronounce the name of the album?
I want to say it's Metasodia.
Okay.
No,
the
it's Metasodia.
Is the CH silent?
Metatonia. Sorry, I keep singing it because, in my head, I'm trying to think. I want to say the C is silent, or the CH might be silent, because I think that it's very much pronounced in the same way as Cthulhu.
The CH is almost like a K sound. If you actually, I just looked it up, and like, phonetically, it's Metaconia.
Metaconia.
Yeah. Okay. Metaconia. You
can
hear it in the song.
Metaconia. Love it, yes. This will be Sing Along with the Metal Hammer of Doom crew.
And I'm looking at Bandcamp right now, the definition of which, because I didn't know if this was an actual word or not, or if this was just something they invented. I don't think it is an actual word. I know Chthonia or Thonia, Chthonia, whatever it is. See, you guys even said it, and I can't even pronounce it. I know that is a word, but anyway, meta is the Metathonia is the epoch after the age of the earth, this current electric age. So that's kind of sets the tone for the album and the story that we're listening to.
So what's going on in this song, Cooper? Let's break it down.
Well, I will try my best to do so. The first part of the song, which is the opening section, is called Of Consuming Flame. I look at this part of the song very much as an intro, kind of putting up our setting. What they do a very good job in this song is something that the band has done a great job in. And previous tracks, like one of my favorite ones, Vastland, off of the Canada 2010 demo, which is talking about kind of this age we live in. And I actually, Life's a Little Revelation off of Wanderer, talking about very much the current situation of the world and how the absence of something that's natural. So, for example, Canada, Vastland, that was a song about how the earth will reclaim itself once we're gone. And Life, Lore, Revelation was about how we have a lack of kind of closeness to our mythology, like the people of old. This song here, this first section, the way I look at it, is setting the kind of the stage of today's modern life, how we have the artificial lights and the electricity and the fires that sap away natural habitats and whatnot. Then it introduced the Metaconia.
Metaconia, you illiterate. Jesus.
Is it Metaclonia?
Metachlorians.
Metachlorians.
Oh, God. Metachlorian.
You ruined Star Wars ever. Metachlorian.
It measures how you use the Force.
Yes, the Metal Hammer of Doom.
Song, man. Get Weird Al on the phone right now. We need another Star Wars parody.
Yes, we'll use this indie black metal band for that.
Yeah, but you don't usually see that, but hey, you know, exposure is exposure.
That is very true. Okay, is this why I'm having so much trouble with it? Because it's Greek. God, fucking Greeks! I swear, if it's not their damn gyros, it's their language.
I'm going to start screaming. This isn't that difficult. Metaconia. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Metaconia?
Coop will say it with a question mark for the rest of the podcast. I'll pay you to do that, Coop. Every time you say it, just put a question mark at the end.
So next week on the Metal Hammer of Doom, there'll be a whole new crew here as I'll be hiring some new people.
Oh, man.
See, I had it before we started the show, and now I'm just now I don't have it, and now I'm questioning whether I even had it at all.
Oh shoot!
All right, I'm moving on to the second track here. I'm through with all these.
I didn't even finish. Jeez, Mark Radley.
Yo, you're finished. All right.
I went through part one of the song. There's two more parts. All right.
You have 50 words. Get it done and stop trying to and stop screwing the name up. Go.
Well, the second part is the Chthonic Call. This is very much just kind of piggybacking off of the my coworker who's listening just sent me how to pronounce it. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Metaconia.
Oh, man. Next up.
Alright, now for my favorite story song of all time. And there is a New Orleans connection, because even though the big version is by Wilson Pickett and Little Richard did a demented version that only he could do as well, it's written by New Orleans' own, or is this a Baton Rouge guy, actually?
Baton Rouge guy.
Chris Kenner. The same guy who said, I like it like that, but this is his masterpiece. Are you ready?
Everybody jump up and down like crazy fucking people during this song.
One, two, three.
time. I'm playing the whole game.
Mark went to a very bad place, and the only way he could get out of that was play one of his favorite songs ever. All right, so I guess we need to straighten up.
What's he gonna do? Fire me?
He done did. He done said we're fired.
This is very quickly going to become a review of Jello Biafra and the New Orleans Functions of All Stars.
Oh,
okay.
Man. I'm quiet. Okay. I'll be quiet.
Well, I can't be quiet because this is kind of my jam. So the second part here, the Chthonic Call, it piggybacks off of where the last section, well, stopped because really it's one song. Talking about the urban sprawl, how a lot of nature is really lost within it, very much buried under it. But then our main character, and Simba's main character, unless it's a self-insert character, found the fires beneath the earth. I would almost say it's some sort of spirit. Well, I look at it. But, it's a fire that you find only if you look for it. So very much like a Kurt Angle bobblehead at a Kmart.
okay.
Yeah, well, I once found a Kurt Angle bobblehead at a Kmart that was about 11 years old and had obviously been ripped open and returned. The reason I knew it was that old is because he had hair. Anywho, the third part is called In Mist and Spray, which has our main character setting upon this Mediconic land. There you go. What's points for me. Yay. And pretty much it just has him stepping onto this land and some lightning striking and him blacking out and almost waking up on this beautiful, lush land that's almost somewhere else. The way I'm thinking that it might be going is that it's almost just a separate segment of the earth, almost one that's not really been touched by human hands. Again, that's something the band's really covered before, and it's something that I like to look at as it's very interesting. Actually, I had been talking to a girl. I mentioned that she was a little off her rocker, but she was very much into stuff like this. So that experience has helped me think about, centrified intelligences and all that horse gobble. But, yeah. Weird shit. Anywho, yeah, this first song, musically, absolutely adore it. It switches between so many different beats. And actually, the cello at the beginning is the same guy that the cello is off of Woods 5. So if you remember Finality, my favorite song off of Woods 5, mm-hmm. That cello, same guy. He makes appearances all throughout this album. Something that I honestly was a little disappointed at is that before listening to the album and looking at it, I went, oh, shit, well, it's only six songs. That's something that I actually like a whole lot about the first two albums is that they were, 5 to 7 minute long songs. They each had their own personality, and they brought something different to the table. So I got very worried that we were getting 10-minute long songs, even though I did have faith in the band, of course. Mm-hmm. What I came to find was that through them segmenting the songs, very much like a lot of progressive rock and metal bands do, they've managed to keep those distinct personalities of songs that they have within a song. So you have distinct passages within the chapters of the book that make this album.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Jess.
I was just going to say, on Bandcamp here, because that's where I'm kind of following along with the lyrics and stuff, I noticed that down here when they're listing the members of the band, they got some parentheses beside him, like you said, Joel Violette, who is that he doesn't have like anything beside his name, but drums, we've got Ray Amate, and beside that they have Immortal Bird. Do they go by these names, or is
no,
it just for this
one of the?
Did
no,
you say
it's
Morton
band.
Joe was in the band? Wait, did you say Morton Joe was in the band?
Immortal Bird is her nickname, I think. At least that's what I'm reading.
Oh, okay.
Is it a nickname or is it a band name?
It's her other band.
Thank you. Okay. All right. That's why I was like, who? Because the next guy, the guy who plays bass, I would have assumed went by the name Obsidian Tongue. I'm like, that's the weirdest name to go by. Clearly, it's the band he's from. Well, the guy who plays cello, the one you just talked about, the band name is The Visit. So I was like, is that similar to The Edge from U2, or what's going on here? But
I seriously now want a band to actually come up with these ridiculous names, and like for like Kiss 2000, you know, and instead of like Starman and the Demon, you know, it's Obsidian Tongue and what it was, Iron Eagle or whatever the hell you just said.
Oh shoot. Okay, I've got that straight now, Coop. Thank you. I just wanted to get clarification.
We got to move on here. This is practice.
Go, Mark, go.
Finish, damn it. Say what you got to say.
Coop?
Okay.
Oh no. I was just going to say that Mark clarifies the pronunciations and I correct band member bands. Yeah.
Yay.
That's what I count on you guys for.
Good addition to the podcast. Track two, She Who Names the Stars. Over that one, it's good. I mean, you know, the whole album I think is good. I didn't like that one as much as I liked the first song, but it's not a bad song by any stretch of the imagination. So what's going on here, Coop? What's happening in this song?
Well, this is another song that is cut into three parts. This first part is called Still Life and has nothing to do with the Opeth album of the same name. I almost look at it as the remnants of the first song. Again, it talks our characters now landed itself on Mediconia. There we go.
Oh, it's hard for me not to start laughing.
I know. There's so many questions. So many question marks. I'm Ron Burgundy. But our main character has no idea how they landed here. Really has no idea what's going on, except that they see everything's very very beautiful, but yet still their mind is just scattered and tatters, as it says. The thing that I really liked is that it's very much like a poem in the middle of it, talking about just the naturescape of how beautiful it was. And then I'm almost thinking that it's looking back at how the world was, because it's so beautiful. And then the electric companies, I think it was electric companies. It wasn't the TV show, the electric companies.
Hey, damn it. I was so gone there, too.
the electric industry, I'm sorry. The electric industry arrived and started destroying everything in a way. Again, it went to talking about how all of our faces are in screens and whatnot. And I like that it's subtly kind of giving social commentary on that, not being quite so on the nose about it. But in the second part of the song, which is titled Asterisk Understanding, it's talking about looking up at the stars and noticing the different constellations and looking at them and naming them and asking why do we not worship them as the way our ancestors used to, because they used to give all these stars names and the sun had a name as well, and kind of asking, well, why haven't we worshipped things like that anymore? And I think that's a very interesting sort of concept. And then the third part is Seven Winters, which I'm curious as to if there's any significance to Seven Winters in terms of some I don't want to say scriptural subtext, but a subtext that has to do with something beyond just the face value of the story, very much like the last album was enhanced if you have read the book that it was based off of. You have a better understanding of what's really going on. I'm curious as to maybe there's something I'm missing as to the significance of exactly these seven winters. But it's talking about in those seven winters, which more or less just the 7 years gone by, looking at the changes in the world, looking at where the power lines stretch, where our grasp of electronics will really last to. And towards the end of the song, still looking up at the stars, they notice the astronomer who had been talking to them the entire time. And our character tries to reach out to her, and she's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Jesse, what are some of your thoughts on the song or response to any of what Cooper just shared with us?
Oh, I was just going to say some great points here being made by the storyteller. Coop, am I wrong in thinking, and you tell me if, you know, where this main character, this is the same main character that started out in the beginning of the album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is he going through this particular book and starting to realize, or did I say book, this particular album, is he starting to realize, you know, like the stranglehold that technology is starting to have on the earth?
What I'm getting from it is just the subtext of the album really just, It talks about things like the electric industry reaching out. I don't really know if our main character is experiencing it quite as much as the listener is to the album. I feel like that's more of a dramatic irony for us to really know that we're really that we. That's the way I'm interpreting it. I might be wrong, but I'm looking at it as more of something that the listener is knowing to enhance really what's going on in the story.
Yeah.
Because I'm not quite sure what the type of narration this is. I'm not sure if this is a third-person sort of narration where it's a where perhaps it's even the person talking, but it's in a past, talking about a past tense rather than a present. It's something that's really interesting to think about, and gosh darn it, I wish I would have messaged Joel Violette, because after the last Thrawson Blot podcast, he friend requested me on Facebook, so that was cool. So I probably should come. Yeah, I should probably try and shoot the guy a message sometime, ask him like, "Hey, how well, what are we talking about here?"
You make a good point, and I've said this, I think, possibly on this particular podcast. I know I've mentioned it a lot of times on source material, but it's wonderful to be able to listen to a piece, read a piece of music, and, you know, as when it comes to art, it's a matter of how you perceive it just as much as the artist themselves has tried to put it out there. So it can speak to a lot of people on different levels. So I'm trying to follow it as a story, mostly, because that's kind of the way I am. I'm the guy looking at the story, trying to follow what's going on with the character and stuff like that. So it's good to have you on here, Coop, because I'm glad you're lyrically analyzing everything and are able to put it out there for me so I understand, at least get a better view as to what's going on.
All right. Go ahead, Coop. I want to get to the next song here. These are lengthy, even though there's only six tracks, these are so lengthy songs, and there's a lot of discussion taking place, so I don't want to run out of time.
Track three.
Dead of Winter.
Thank you.
one's really good. I really like that one. I like the drumming in it. There's some very interesting drumming going on. I like the vocals. You know, again, you know, we alternated between the screaming and the clean, but there's more of a focus on the clean vocals there. Even though it's a slower song, I like the tempo of it. So it's good. You know, they are definitely keeping a consistent, like we talked about with Volby and Hell Yeah the last 2 weeks. You know, how the albums are just uneven and inconsistent. This one's been consistent. I'm very pleased with it so far. So, Coop, tell us a story.
So Dead of Winter is, again, broken into three parts. Haha, who'd have thought? First part is actually Spoke the Huntress. So the Huntress, our astronomer from the previous song, is talking to our new inhabitants of Metaconia. Did I get it? I think I got it.
That was a period, not a question mark.
He got him.
Got him.
I got him. The interesting thing about this song is it's talking about the Verdant Gaian Nation, so I had to hit the old Googles because my dictionary is all the way on the other side of the room, and gosh darn it, I just can't have that. It was talking about, of course, Verdant is a very green, grassy field, and Gaian is actually something called Gaianism. I don't know if anybody ever here has heard of Gaianism.
I think I have, Gaianism, actually.
Gaianism is very much, now that I've read something on 5 minutes on Google, I'm an expert, push up glasses. Gaian is very much what I would say a lot of some of their songs have been, where I was talking about how the earth is going to be reclaimed by itself once man is gone. That's very much what I look at the Gaian sort of philosophy is. It's like almost a mix of new age, like sort of new age spiritualism and paganism. I think it was paganism, if I'm not mistaken.
I once played the Illusion of Gaia. Just putting that out there.
Ah, well, that is Oh, you.
I had to do something to fill the silence there.
I looked at my computer and I'm like, oh God, why am I getting all these messages? Oh, it's because I wasn't looking at them. So,
tends to happen.
Yeah, it happens every once in a while. But anywho, it's talking about how the land that they're inhabiting is a Verdant Gaian nation, but right now it's covered in ice. So actually, that'll be getting to the third part of the song, but it's ice covered. And the second part, the bone hand, if I'm not mistaken, references death, which is the bone hand reaching out from above the ground to pull you under. So that's the way, really, I just see the part two, the bone hand, as. And the third part is the hunt, no relation to the Grand Mega song, The Hunt, which is also a great album.
It's a kick-ass song.
It is.
Song.
Love that album. Love that song so much. Is this a song? Yes. It's talking about the dead of winter. It's actually talking about how if you, and our huntress is telling the character that it's not the dead of winter. If you feel the earth, that it's actually not dead. It's really the it's almost like the life of winter. There's still life that to be had in a place that's really dead and cold. There's still things going on. Not everything is dead as, I guess, modern thoughts would have you believe. There's actually a heart under the snow is how they put it, and I think that's absolutely cool. Yes. And then it's just finally at the end of the song talking about how the different kind of the idea of like the location, man and mist collide. And it starts to lift the ice off the water and crack it to reveal the green grass.
Okay.
All right.
all right, let me just slip. Mark, unless you have something to say about that.
Nope.
Okay, I want to ask you here real quick, Mark. You've seen some of the epic storytelling bands in concert, haven't you? Like Blind Guardian, and didn't you say you went and saw them once?
I've seen Blind Guardian.
Okay, so when they're up on stage and you got a concert going on, would you rather them play something? I know the answer to this because I know you're not Story McStoryson because you're the guy that likes the sound of stuff. But is there an appreciation where if you were watching them on stage, you wanted them to do a complete album, you know, from start to finish? Or would you just want to hear their greatest hits?
Well, I mean, look, I've gone to see Judas Priest play all of Painkiller live.
Okay.
I've seen a couple of bands do that gimmick where, you know, they play in one album from start to finish. I think when my wife and I went to go see Weezer, they did, I think that was the anniversary of the Blue album. And we played the Blue album like straight through, and then they did like an encore set of this, that, and the other thing.
Okay.
So, I mean, it depends. You know, I'm certainly not opposed to a band, you know, playing through an album or playing through a story. Ministry, I think, played through their whole Rio Grande Blood, I think it was, or The Last Sucker, one of the two, and then they did an encore of some of their older stuff. So I would say the answer is yes.
Okay. How about you, Coop? if you had Throstenblatt on the stage, and what would you want them to play? Do you want them to play an album straight through so you get to hear the whole story, or would you want to hear the greatest hits, the stuff that is really popular?
Well, that really depends on what to advertise. If they played this entire album in its entirety, I'd be fine with that. It would tell a very nice story. Fortunately, this album here has so much variation in it that it would feel like a whole lot of different songs being played at once. There are a lot of bands that I've seen, like, for example, Dream Theater. They will play songs from their concept album along with the regular songs in a concert. And I really feel like that's fine because oftentimes there are many standout tracks in a great concept album. I think my favorite one, probably Mirror Mirror by Blind Guardian. Because that's just, I love that song. And it stands alone from the Nightfall and Middle Earth album very well. But really, if I had a choice between the two, I think I would personally like a kind of mix of everything. So if you hear a song off of that, say you hear a song off their first EP or the second album, you're like, oh, that's great, I want to hear that. And then you hear something from this this third album here, this concept album.
Mm-hmm.
And it can draw you into that, because if you play all of that one concept album, especially if you're still very much young in your career, I feel like you're almost limiting yourself to, I would say, I guess perhaps a snapshot of your career. Does that make sense? Like you're not really giving yourself the opportunity to show the full scope of your talents or your discography. You're limiting it to one thing that you've done. Now, with that said, this album's a little different because this is very much a personification of everything they've done in the past. There's a lot of variation, but sometimes, I'm sure we've all seen, fans will do an entire album that is totally different from what they've done before. And so let's say if Megadeth played Risk in their entirety. I would not want that.
Well, one of the greatest live CDs I ever had the opportunity to own was Pink Floyd's, I think it was Pulse. Two disc set. One disc was nothing but them playing.
That's not right. The album you're thinking of is Wish You Were Here.
I thought there was a two CD set called Pulse, which has
their best album is Wish You Were Here.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So I see what you're saying now. Well, anyway, the second best album.
The one you're missing is Fit You Right Here.
Anyway, they did Dark Side of the Moon straight from, you know, the beginning to the end live, and I just think to myself, man, it would have been just so awesome to be in the audience and actually hear that whole complete album live, because it's kind of a rarity. I've never seen it. Mark, you've been to more concerts than I have, and it sounds like you've had the opportunity to see some.
Yeah, I don't have $1 million. I'm not going to see the Pink Floyd.
All right.
Roger Waters was here, I think, last year in Orlando, and I think in order to get tickets, I had to sell a child. Yeah, you didn't know we had three children.
You already wagered one off, didn't you, to the Casual Heroes?
No, they lost that bet. But Moses Rattlin, we had to trade for tickets to go see Roger Waters. But seriously, there comes a point, like we won't go see Dave Matthews, thankfully, because my wife just can't bring herself to spend the money on tickets. So, but we're going on a cruise, so there you go.
Okay,
sacrifices have to be made.
Indeed. All right, I think that's a great place to get to our next track here. This is track 4. This is Hypodermic Needles. No, this is Hypothonic Remnant. Good too. I would say, like, so far the weakest track for me has been the second one. Everything else has been, I would put as much as this is a band that no one's ever heard of, I would put this up against any of the known folk metal or, you know, progressive metal, black metal bands that are out there, and say these guys can certainly carry their own weight. What's going on here, Cooper?
All right. Had to make a song out of everything, of course. Of course, just like all the other parts of this, it isn't indeed three parts, which makes me wonder if technically we have 18 tracks.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, technically you can look at it. I mean, hell, with our talking, I think this is the longest we went in a while. Good for us.
It's good
for us. We're past an hour. But anyhow, track four, Hypocatonic Remnants. The first part, Subterranean, which I've always assumed that just Googling chthonic, it's more of a subterranean idea anyway. That's actually the description of something that is subterranean, below Earth area. It was dropping a whole bunch of foreign things that I've never heard of. One of them I looked up, which is Anunshog. Anunshog, yes. Anundsho with the umlaut G. Yeah, it's apparently it's very much, it looks like a Swedish Stonehenge, so that's kind of what I was getting from it. This is, again, this taking our main character into this drawing him into the metachthonic area. And, yeah, there's not a whole lot in terms of an actual narrative that goes on in this part of the song. Really, it's almost the spirit of the hypocathonic giving our main character a voice. And I like how it puts it, to you, the innate electronic, to rise above the noise. Love it. the way I look at that is that humanity is its own sort of electronic voice. Like, we don't necessarily need the electronics to hold us or to kind of nurture us or carry us. That, frankly, we can make it on our own without them.
Hmm? No, says you. I disagree.
You disagree? Oh, I see. You made a joke.
Mark is probably deadly serious, okay? All right? He is awaiting the robot apocalypse. It's going to happen soon, and I think he is honestly going to be on the side of the robots here.
The day that I can upload my consciousness to the internet, it's fucking over. I'm done with this badass body.
but what if you become what if your digital body becomes a fat ass too?
My digital body? How?
I don't know. What if you become over encumbered with information? I haven't thought this far ahead.
I can upload myself to a physical. I can upload myself like a physical cyborg body, see? And I'll live forever.
I just want to step in here and say that my son is 2.5 years old and he is now going to bed with his own little iPhone 4.
I got a cell phone when I graduated high school at 18.
I'm not one to comment on anyone else's parenting unless you're abusing the child. But how old is this child and why does he have a phone?
He's 2.5, and he knows how to operate it. Go to Netflix, goes to YouTube. He does it all on his own, and he enjoys watching Little Einsteins at night before he goes to bed. So he'll lay there in bed and watch his phone. So when we sit here and we talk about an album that is completely, it is absolutely 100% against letting the electronic devices, the electricity take over your life, I almost feel really guilty because it is completely happening here at the Starcher household. Things are out of control.
My 5-year-old is absolutely addicted to the iPad, and we really have to watch her. My son isn't necessarily addicted to electronics so much as he likes certain shows and he's not really interested in, you know, he wants to watch Mickey Mouse and I want to watch Manfire Food. You know, I'm going to hear a lot of pissing and moaning about how he wants to watch Mickey Mouse, and I have to tell him to go sit and spin. So,
well,
my daughter is definitely a technophile.
Okay. Well, and that's, man, I'd like to say that that stuff's going to change here at some point, but
if I'm doing it, dude,
I mean, there's hundreds, thousands of parents that are doing the same thing that I am. So I really don't think that anytime soon this generation that's coming up is going to be turning towards nature in any way.
No, God,
As much as these guys are screaming it, because that's the impression that I get from this album, is that they're, you know, they're trying to tell people to open their eyes. As a matter of fact, this track that we just listened to is a very angry track. Clearly, we're talking death metal here, but this is probably one of the angriest tracks we've hit so far. Where, I mean, it's almost like they're screaming at you, "Hey, idiot, wake up, man! You know this. Look at what's going on around you. Stop being the guys in Wally in your little chair, wheeling yourself around." And it's wake up, and that's what I get. Am I wrong on that, Coop?
You know what I say? You know what I say?
What do you
Don't
say?
Tell me what to do. I say, don't tell me what to do. If I want to be a fat ass floating chair hooked up to the internet, then that's exactly what I'll be.
That is wonderful that we are going. I think honestly that is the that's the message that I get from this. Like, a fat ass, don't be sitting there. Which I can't say anything because I mean I'm on like when I'm home I'm on the computer. So, I mean, yeah, I like nature, but I work about 8 hours a day in nature. So I get my fill. Hell, even my days off. I've been laying
out, I like nature
doing the yard.
I'm going hunting. I like nature just fine. I'm going to be out there in nature. It's all good. But, yeah.
Oh, he's hoping. Yeah. Mark, you were so hoping we ain't going to call you on that one, buddy. Because going hunting for the first time in your life.
I'm a hunter now.
I already told my wife I bought a pair of camouflage sweatpants and a shirt, and I said after this hunt, don't expect me to ever take these camouflage sweatpants.
Oh my God! No, you should have said, "Hey, look, I live near Coop."
I intend to walk around for the rest of my life in camouflage sweatpants.
I hope you know I will judge you greatly, and no, I will not pick your mulch up for you, sir.
Let's get on with this. This is track 5. This is Rivers of Underthought. She was a monkey's uncle. just because we're running low on time here, I wanted to cut that short. Coop, give it to me. Go.
Never heard that one in my life. Rivers of Underthought. This is broken down into parts. River Sources and Cat Stop Fucking Eating My Cord.
Holy shit. It's the craziest titles of songs I've ever heard.
River Streams Torrents. This is one of those songs that, God damn it, Cat. And then he just went, eh-eh. Anywho, Rivers, I think, takes from the last song, which is, the last song, which is At Odell's Heart, which, Odell is very funny, because when I tried to type in Odell's Heart, I got, like, Odell's, auto repair, which I'm like, yep, this is the South, boys.
Oh, man.
Odell's Thought was I thought very much so, took the song, the Chthonic song, I think that's what it was, the song of the Chthonic, which was taking yourself and making it into the element. This third part of the last song was, making yourself the element and becoming free of the electricity, that's the way I looked at it. And then Rivers here is to yourself as well as your brothers that you've met along the way to find yourself kind of caught inside the flow of water, because I feel like that they're looking at water as almost the most pure substance on Earth, really. Like in terms of that clean, pure water that's the most vital part of humanity, or really just nature's existence. That's the way I like to think of that one. So I think these three parts are trying to do that with Rivers. It's talking about the, almost just describing the rivers and the main character talking to his fellow people to try to get them to band together and join along the water flow. With Sources, is talking about how he has joined the great interconnection of all water and all life as the rivers of Underthought flow to the sea. So, okay. So this song here is looking at the each being as a stream, very much like on Wanderer on the Continent of Saplings. It talks about how every person is a sapling on this great earth, and that pretty much everything will all become a forest. This is talking about how each person is a river tributating into the ocean that is almost the astral consciousness, maybe, perhaps. Because the torrent is talking about just how strong and relentless and Cat, get off my keyboard.
Just do me a favor real quick, Mark, and yell out "Get Down, Mod," because that's the only thing you can follow up with it.
Torrent's part is talking about just the rapids and rages of that interconnected unity of all people and their thoughts and their consciousness, the swells and the raging rivers and whatnot. Honestly, the bass work on this song by let me make sure I got the right guy. Yep, Brendan Hayter. And actually, he wrote song 5. Okay. So yeah, the bass work on this one was absolutely wonderful. This song, as well as a lot of the other ones, actually have a lot of little odes to their previous music. There's one part here where I was pretty sure, I think it was in the first song, where I kept thinking that they were kind of oding back to the Latin section in Vastland. There's some other parts where I'm like, this kind of reminds me of some stuff off of Wanderer on the Continent of Saplings. But it's not in the same vein as Mark's favorite example, which is 13 by Black Sabbath, where it's just straight up just cannibalizing your own music and calling it new. This is, I think, taking inspiration from prior works and varying it to be something new and different. And I think they've done an absolutely wonderful job of this. This is a very just interesting album. This is one of those that I thought, okay, I could do what I usually do, sit down and read through it and kind of figure it out. And then I looked at the lyrics and went, well, boys, This is going to be just – this is going to be skin deep. And it's impressive that I can get this deep with just one go. But whew.
Mm-hmm.
This album's going to be in rotation in the car for the next month, guaranteed.
Yeah, and you'll have additional revelations as you go along. That's what makes this type of music fun to listen to and over and over, and especially to understand what's going on with the lyrics. A lot of thought put into them. Mark, we can go on to track 6 whenever you're ready, man.
All right, let's hit it. This is track 6. This is In Mist We Walk.
This episode needs to be retitled the pronunciation episode.
This is
I know all the words. W-E-R-D-S words.
Word up.
Word up.
I told you, it's
like
Vernon.
You are white. You say Mount Vernon? Oh, no, not Mount Vernon. I'm not George Washington. This won't go well. Anywho, part one of this book.
So, is he broken up?
Yeah, I can't hear him. He just started and then he broke up. I thought it was on my end.
Coop, repeat everything you just said from the start of the podcast.
What?
You broke up there, man. Start over.
Okay. This part is called the hammering. Is that better?
There we go.
Yeah.
I think I was talking with my beard in the phone.
Mm.
Wait, that's,
listen, I only ask one thing of you when you come on this podcast. Talk with your mouth into the phone.
Please.
But I was talking with my mouth into the phone. It's just my beard was in the way. This song is talking about the hammering of my heart into the great flesh anvil. I love that. I just love that thought process. This is talking, you know, we've been talking about the consciousness kind of drifting in all into itself, and now it's going back to the naturescape, talking about the character getting its heart hammered by the great flesh anvil. Huh. Love this. Ooh, the red fire.
Well,
heart. Let's see.
Buy that in a dirty bookstore.
What?
I was going there too. I decided not to. Flesh anvil.
The flesh
You're
anvil.
Welcome.
That's a pretty. Oh, you people. Yeah, pretty
guys.
Much. Just... Oh, you guys. talking about the again, I guess the finish of the final part of the indoctrination and the mist coming from the ocean, which I assume is the consciousness of the people returning to the returning back to the land in a way. The second part is called Vernal Rains, no relation to Roman. because you know, this song, this part of the song wouldn't get suspended. Oh, that makes that's wonderful. Oh gosh. So right now I'm reading this on a much smaller screen, actually on the iPod screen, because I stole my mom's iPod and I'm a horrible son, so I've been using that because she can't find her headphones because I took them years ago.
And now she can't find her iPod.
Yeah. Oh no, she knows where it is. I mean, she's never going to use it, just like the Roku. The Roku, I took it because she wasn't using it. And, well, I use it almost every night, so this is this part of the song here goes very much back to, I guess, the thoughts when I was talking about that girl I'd been talking to for a few weeks, to where she kept talking about things that I told her. I'm sorry, dear, the science you're talking about is way above my pay grade. I love the line, you who walk through the hexadecimal thunder with the will of the advancing hunter. Lyricism.
Yes,
I
sir.
Love that.
That's good stuff.
Yes. I guess it's almost looking at this in a mythos scientific way, which is when you look back and wander on the continent of saplings, it's really kind of what it boils down to there. It was talking about how the integration of human and myth has really kind of fallen apart. Now, I think that at the end of the day, what new myths really could be made out of is technology, which is that girl was really, 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 really into that idea. If I really, I mean, I think she believed it. Whew. There's that was a rabbit hole, and she was way far down it. But
should have been way far down your pants.
What was that?
She should have been way far down your pants.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? If I may quote many a good movie, don't stick your dick in crazy.
That's good advice.
Well,
it is. It is.
Well,
I'd like to think.
Do it at least once, but don't tell it your real name.
Oh, well, that's the problem. I have a bad habit of just giving my names to every... Giving my name to everybody. I'm like Dolph Ziggler with his original gimmick. But anywho, the first part is the mist kind of descending upon the land. And then the second part here is really, I think, just looking at more of the scientific aspect of it. I honestly couldn't really think of a way to put it that would make sense in words. I honestly shot a little bit above my pay grade. the third part is another journey begins, which is talking about the crossing the banks of the streams of electric thought, which in my mind is a stand-in for the human brain. God, an
underrated.
The human brain, man. The human brain. The human brain, I guess there's electric rivers in our mind. It's talking about being the snow that falls. I think honestly what it's saying is that we are our person has went from falling, going into the water and becoming part of the ocean of oneness that is the people's consciousness now is almost transcended to being part of the elements, talking about being the snow, the rain, the sun, and the heart that heaves across the earth. But I think, honestly, this is, album is just that, is saying at the end of it, it's just the person has become one, almost one with the earth, become another part of it. And then is directly speaking to the spirit walker, the igniters of the sixfold flame. That's a lot of folds. Who rends the snow and the earth as the flames from Mr. Burns. Oh, okay. So this is almost very much like the ending of the last album here, where our hero has reached a certain end of the journey. And the end of the journey at the end of this song is that our main character has become pretty much the embodiment of a meta... Metacathonia?
We drive it into the ground here, folks.
And one.
Has become... I'm not quite done. Has become the living embodiment of that Metacathonia. Oh, God, it's hot outside. Sorry, I'd walk outside, and it feels like it's about 97,000 degrees. Now I know how Mark Radlich feels on his everyday. Fuck, it's like Florida humid. Fuck me with a rake. Anywho, this is... I feel like the main character has pretty much become the living embodiment of what they were living in, the Metacathonia. And it's getting almost to talk to that huntress in a way. And... yeah, I think that's really, I'm at the end of my brain at this point. It's almost all like right. Our main character has been rebirthed in the cycle to becoming what once sustained them.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right, Jesse, after I need 10 words or less here on what you thought of this album. Go.
He's in a hurry, folks. Let me tell you, I enjoyed the storytelling in this album. I do want to point out one bit of criticism that I have, and that is the fact that every song, except for the one that wasn't written by Joel Violette, has the word Metacathonia in it, all right? And that was the one you were talking about, I think, song 5. Every other song has that word in it. Like, it got a little bit repetitive. Kind of like us on this podcast tonight. So, I want to thank you guys.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I enjoyed the album. I can tell you, I give it a thumbs up. That's my rating. I'll go back and listen to it again for sure.
Well, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. You know, for what it was, I liked it. It makes good driving music. I don't know how often I'll refer back to it. It's No Land of a Thousand Dances by Jello Biafra or Clutch covering We Need Some Money. But it's good. No major difficulties there. That's going to wrap up this podcast. Sorry if it felt like I was rushing through it, but, you know, it's just, you know, I wanted to try to keep it to around 90 minutes. We're a little over now, but that's okay. Next week, we'll be reviewing the new Whitechapel. If I'm home for my hog hunt on time, if not, then Jesse Starcher and Robert Cooper are going to do it for me. So we're reviewing the new Whitechapel. The week after that is new from a couple weeks ago. New Gojira Magma. Then we'll be
boiling
over
hot magma.
Then we're jumping over to Thursday, July 14th, one of Jesse Starcher's favorites, Lacuna Coil, Delirium. Then back to Tuesday, July 19th, one of Robert Cooper's favorites, Death Angel, The Evil Divide. And then back to Thursday again, because on Tuesday I'll be at Gwen Stefani with my family. We'll be going to see, we'll be reviewing Witherscape, The Northern Sanctuary. And then finally, on August 2nd, a new Clutch side project, Dunsmuir, we'll be reviewing that. And then as we get into September, we'll be reviewing the new Jackal with a Y, a new Tarja. Every time I die, been added to the schedule. There's a new Epica album coming out, so we got some real goodies here. I'm waiting on a date for the new Testament. I'm waiting on a date for the new Life of Agony. So we got plenty of stuff still ahead. There's rumors that the Limp Bizkit album is gonna be out by the end of the year, so you know that's what we cover. I haven't forgotten.
Well, hey, to be fair, I said I'll review Limp Bizkit if you'll do Throstenblatt, and we're one Limp Bizkit album and two Throstenblatt albums in. So I guess now we got to equal it out.
Yep,
that's right. All right, so real quick, Cooper, keep it to 50 words or less. Plugs go.
Well, before I give my plugs, I never actually gave my review of this album finalized. 5 out of 5 stars, absolutely wonderful. This is a storybook of a fucking album. Every time I've listened to it, I found something new to like and enjoy. My coworker Ian, who's been messaging me, who's not really a metalhead, is like, I really like the variation in this album. So there you go. This is honestly one of those albums that you can give to somebody if they're not a huge fan of extreme metal, and I really feel like you can really get them into the genre just through this album, because there's a lot of really good ideas, there's great thought processes, there's a lot of mystery to it, and intertwined with that you have lots of great folk passages, black metal, just driving black metal passages. Absolutely wonderful. Probably my favorite album of the year, right up there with Dystopia by Megadeth. But as for my plugs, the WTM network on Spreaker.com that is Wrestling to the Max, done by my friend Sean Garmer. You can find that, I think, at Spreaker.com/WTM network. You'll find wrestling games, Wrestling to the Max, Games to the Max, and Sports to the Max podcast, where I did make an appearance on last week. As for other things, you can find me on this podcast, as well as the Sentai Hentai Frenzy Happy Go Fun Time podcast that I like to call the Sentai Writer podcast, that I like to do with my buddy Hunter Thompson, no relation to the writer. Well, we're going to do something eventually. The summer has exactly 1 month left in it, so yeah, we should totally do something sooner or later. Yeah, but to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SentaiRiderPodcast. That is SentaiRider podcast, your home for all things Tokusatsu. And, Jesse and I need to do Vinland Saga sometime.
Yes, indeed. All right, as for myself, I'm not even going to let you cue me up, Mark. I'm going. Source Material Podcast on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. You can check it out there. We go back and take a look at some of the great storylines out there for that you can find in comics. This past week, just dropped the Just What You're Reading special, where we talked to a lot of four previous guests and find out what they're reading and recent comic book-wise and talked about it. Go give the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Facebook page a like. Stay up on top of all the great Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network podcasts that we offer. And that's all for me.
Real quick, tomorrow night, Sean Comer and I will not be doing The Long Road to Ruin. However, we will get together and review the new Orange is the New Black Season 4. It was a great season. All I have to say is, aw, poor Poussey. If you want to know why, if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead, check us out tomorrow at 9:30. Full 2-hour review of the entire season, Orange is the New Black Season 4. Next week, Whitechapel, Mock of the Blade, and I will be telling stories of my hog hunt, my triumphant hog hunt. All right, so with that, I'm going to fond farewell for Jesse Starcher, for Robert Cooper. Be well, be safe, and behave.
Have you had a Rita's Italian Ice? It's not like a snow cone, slushy, or anything you'd find in the freezer aisle. At Rita's, our famous Italian ice is smooth and silky, and it's where we got our start 40 years ago. It's made fresh daily at each shop using real fruit with a rotating daily selection from over 75 flavors. Stop by for a free sample and taste the difference for yourself. Rita's Ice, Custard, Happiness.
Be cool, go to Rita's. Be cool, eat a Rita's.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.